Well, good evening, everyone. It's such a joy and privilege for my wife, Slavica, and myself to be able to worship with you this Sunday afternoon. We bring you greetings from the Good News Baptist Church in Skopje. Skopje is the capital of Macedonia, since last year technically called North Macedonia. It's the same country. And I thank you for the privilege to be able to share a little bit of what we are doing in Macedonia, especially those parts that are in partnership with Slavic Gospel Association. We've been associated with this association for over 40 years now. We have done a number of projects together, but I'll briefly share on some of them, and I'll be glad to answer any questions that you might have after the service is over. Well, let me start with my family. My family is a third generation who is serving the Lord in Macedonia. It's pretty unique there. It wouldn't be anything special in this country. But over in the country, my father was, for example, the only Baptist pastor for over 40 years in all of Macedonia. So we are the third generation. And here on the picture, right in the middle, my wife Slavica and myself, you can't see all too well. Well, missed that. No, I won the previous picture, but... Okay. What we have of the family, our son Marco. Marco is now pastoring our church. Our church is 50 to 60 people, so not a big church. I've pastored the church for over 40 years, although professionally I've worked at the University of Skopje. I'm a professor of chemistry. And when I mention that, there's an interesting thing in our family. Both my wife and I are chemists. And our son Marco and his wife, they are both theologians. They have master's degrees in theology. And our daughter Anna and her husband Zeno are both mathematicians, math teachers. So there's an interesting thing in our family. We have six grandchildren, three from our son and three from our daughter, three boys and three girls. Lovely six children, grandchildren, and those of you who have grandchildren would know the joy that we enjoy with each one of them. They are all very different, but each very special in their own way. The oldest one is Eliza. Eliza is to the right, this one here. A very energetic girl. She plays volleyball in school. And she also sings beautifully. Our next is Isabella. Isabella is a ballerina. And right now she's in Moscow. Just in the past 3 days, she and five others from her group, they won 2 gold medals and 1 silver medal in Moscow. And in Moscow, if you know anything about ballet, Moscow is a leading place about ballet. So this little group has won 2 gold and 1 silver in the past 2 days. She's still in Moscow. She's returning back home on Monday. So all of them, lovely. This Emmanuel is a very scientific mind. Young man, and David is a very philosophical. Yaakov is a fighter, a young fighter. And this little girl here, Ivana, we call her a lamb. She is such a quiet person. It's all different personality. We've been gifted with these six grandchildren to our joy. Now, Eliza, I mentioned she's singing. And 2 other girls from our church, all teenagers, now already have 3 studio-made songs, Christian songs we're talking about, very popular all out on the internet. I do a lot of ministries. I've preached for 40 years. I've translated the New Testament. I've translated a number of books. I've written myself over 25 books. But lately, I'm writing lyrics and music for the teenagers. It's my latest and newest ministry down there. So the 3 songs that I have recorded are all mine and very popular indeed. Here's Isabella, a very recent picture, 2 days old, just from Moscow, winning this place. Isabella is a wonderful little girl. She's 11 and a half years. Well, Macedonia, where is Macedonia? You'll find it in the Bible. Of course, I don't know if you know where it is geographically, but it's close to Greece. It's just north of Greece. As a matter of fact, the biblical term Macedonia applies to a wider territory that back in 1912 was chopped into 3 pieces, and one was given to Greece and the other one to Serbia, and the third one remained chopped between Bulgaria and a little bit even in Albania ended up. So it's chopped up in three pieces, but only this part, which was formerly part of the federation called Yugoslavia, the older people will remember there was such a country until 20 years ago. Yugoslavia was a federation of six republics, and one of those six republics was Macedonia, which has emerged an independent state just like all the other five in former Yugoslavia. Macedonia is, in a way, a crossroad to the Balkans. Our neighborhood is such, when we speak about Christian ministries and Christian aspects, oftentimes the surrounding is very important. It's influential, whether we want it or not. And we are surrounded by two Muslim countries, Albania and Kosovo, and Serbia and Greece, and even Bulgaria to a greater extent, are extremely orthodox. When I say extremely, very nationalistic, very strict. And so is Macedonia. So in such a surrounding, it is not easy to preach the gospel. But there's always been faithful servants there. The church is small there. I will briefly talk about the religious structure there. Macedonia is a small country. It's 2 million. They still say it's 2 million. I don't know. They keep saying also that in the last 10 years, 500,000 have moved out of the country. That would make 1/4 of the country already. But we haven't had a census for about 20 years, so we don't know the exact number. I would assume we are around 1.5 million. That would be more realistic. Economically, it's a very poor country. The smallest bar you see to the right side, which shows the GDP, is Macedonia. It's about 8 times less than the one in Great Britain, for comparison. It's a poor country. Religious-wise, there's two dominating religions, Orthodoxy and Islam. Orthodoxy is about 60-some percent, and Islam is about 30%. Yeah, percentage about 64% Orthodox, 33% Muslim, 0.3% Catholic, and only 0.1% professing evangelical Christians. So not very many evangelical churches there. The average number of adults in any evangelical church would be about 20 to 30. Our church has 50 to 60 and is considered one of the larger churches there. So 50 to 60 is something extraordinary down in Macedonia. So we are talking about really small evangelical body in Macedonia, and the whole burden of evangelizing or preaching the gospel to our people is on these few people. I would say no more than 2,500 adult evangelical Christians in Macedonia. If you know anything about the Eastern Orthodoxy, they are very much obsessed with veneration of saints, kissing icons, and superstition. Very little Christianity, really. Although they consider themselves, of course, one of the largest Christian churches. But in essence, they are very, very superstitious, very pagan, I would say, in what they do, in what they believe. And they are very hard to the gospel, because for some reason in the Balkans, it's a very well-known fact for those who know a little bit more about the Balkans, the religion is almost identified with their national identity. So if you're a Serb or a Macedonian or a Greek, you're definitely Orthodox. It would be considered a betrayal if you'd be anything else. It's a very strong feeling there. So to become an evangelical Christian is considered a very severe betrayal there. People would really look down at you, would even insult you, that you have left the heritage of your ancestors, that you are falling apart of a culture and so forth. So there is a big price to be paid for that. So building the kingdom of God in Macedonia in partnership with SGA goes in several areas. We have cooperated over the years in church ministries. For certain time, SGA has been partly sponsoring the pastors in the Baptist churches in Macedonia. Currently, it's not involved in that particular area. But as I'll mention in a couple of minutes, we have been long in an inadequate building, and over the past 3 years, we built ourselves a new church facility, and SGA has substantially helped there. So it's still in this area, although not supporting pastors, but it has helped a lot for us to get the new facility. In missions, new church planting, it is still involved. I'll tell you a few words about that also. Literature ministry, very actively. I would say this is one of the areas where SGA has been present for 40 consecutive years. Macedonia don't have any Christian literature. When I was a young man, my father was a pastor in Macedonia. And can you imagine a pastor in a country with no Bible in your language? The first time we received the Bible in our language, in the Macedonian language, it's one of the Slavic languages, was 1991. And my father was pastor since 1958. No Bible in that language. So when you preach, you have to translate from some other language by your own skills and knowledge on a piece of paper, at least the verses that you are going to preach on. No hymnal, no tracts, no Christian book whatsoever. And of course, we had 60 years of communism, where these things would have been unimaginable anyway. But it was a very difficult time to work, and it still is. One of my tasks when I took over from my father was to produce as much literature as possible. And SGA has been very, very helpful. We sometimes translate books from English. You have a great richness of Christian books. I don't know how much you value that, but you know, in our language, I've worked on that for 40 years now, and they still can get all in one shelf about this size. Over here, we had the privilege of visiting the Christian Heritage Center yesterday. It's just such a rich Christian history in this country. So you are really blessed by having books just about on any topic, any area. But in our language, we had to slowly provide something for the children, something for the adults, some books for suitable for Christians to grow, some books for unchurched people in their vocabulary, in their level of understanding. And that's what we've been doing for 40 years. So whenever we translate a book from English, in particular, SGA has been very helpful. For example, we have done a couple of years a book from Professor John Lennox of Oxford, God's Undertaker. It's an apologetic book, which is still very needed in those areas where communism was present 60 or 70 years. And when you translate a book, you know, in another language, you have to pay royalties, and it's complicated from that end of the world to even transfer money. So SGA has been very helpful by paying the royalties, by supplying the funds for printing the books. And these are then used among, especially among the university people where I've worked most of my life, almost 50 years spent at the university, just retired a year and a half ago. So just to give you an example, but a lot of books that we have produced ourselves, we have written ourselves, have also been, the funds for printing of these books have been provided by the SGA, and they've partnered with us in this very vital ministry. Now, why literature? Because in a country like ours, it's still embarrassing for the people to talk about God, even. You know, emerging from a communist society where it was almost shameful to mention God or speak about religion in general, it's still that generation around. And but they would like to read when they're on their own at home. So the literature has played a very vital role. Our church has started as a home church. My father started in his home some 40 years ago, and it was just our family for a long time. Now, 50 or 60 people now is not an awful lot, but more than half of those have been brought to the Lord through books. And that's a very important tool. That's why we really put an accent on providing literature. Humanitarian ministries, the Balkans has been an area constantly shaken by local wars or conflicts, ethnic conflicts, if you know anything about it. And there's constant need of refugees or widows. And currently, SGA is helping a widow project in Macedonia, which we really are grateful for. This is me and Marco. Marco is our son, who is the pastor of the church now. Marco is providing for himself. He and his wife started a business of repairing cell phones. That's how they provide for living. But he also pastors the church. So in a way, he's following his father's steps, because I was a professor at the university my entire life, but I also pastored the church for 40 years. And he does that very well. Now, I'm showing you a picture. I'm sorry that it's so small, and maybe you cannot see the detail, but this was our previous church building. Actually, it was just an ordinary house. In our country, even today, it is not easy or it's almost impossible to build a church legally. You cannot do that. So some 35 years ago, we bought a house, just an ordinary house, and it wasn't a big one. We pulled the internal walls and we created a little room for about 45 people. And that's our sanctuary there on the second level. We called it the upper room because it was up on the second level. We were there 28 years, but you can get a little feeling that it was well overcrowded. It wasn't really an adequate place anymore. So we started to pray and really to work on building a new church building. Again, it had to be done as a home, as a residential building. They would not give us a permission to build a church there, even these days. But nevertheless, this is our new church facility now. So officially it is, I'll show you a few pictures so that you get some idea. It's a beautiful building. Yep. Officially it's a residential home building. But there's a catch in the law that is used. When you build residential homes, the ground level can be, they call it business space. It's undefined business space. So about 20 to 25% of the whole area within that building can be used for business space. And that's what we used at that particular part of the regulations to place our church in there. We will not get permission for a church. But nevertheless, we are very happy with what we have now. This is what it looks inside. Much nicer than the previous picture that I showed you in our old buildings where we were overcrowded. This is what it looks like with people. Now, this particular picture was taken on Christmas, and we are about 100 there. Normally, as I said, we are about 60, 55, 60 people to a regular Sunday service. But it's nice to have a facility where at least maybe 10 times a year, we are about 100. While in the previous building, 45 was the limit. So we couldn't even plan on inviting people or plan on doing anything that would be for people outside the church because there's simply no room there. So we are so grateful to have this new facility, and we are now hosting a number of seminars, even for other evangelical churches, and a lot of other activities going on there every few days. This is the souterrain or underground where we have our Bible studies. Still a nice place, although it's underground, most of it. But it's new and it's very nice and we enjoy it very much. Children's ministry has always been important to us. I don't know what the situation is here. My father taught me many years ago, because he was a pastor for a long time, if you stop working with children, the next generation will have a long gap. There will be only very old people and perhaps younger ones, but you will not have the mid-generation, which is normally the one that carries on the work. So we are placing very, very serious accent on working with children. This picture was taken in our church. This is me sitting in the pew there and giving a talk to the children. We have about 12 or 15 children, a different age. But we have now a good facility that we can split the children, the smaller ones in one room and the teenagers in another room, in different programs. We could never do that before. Yeah, another picture of the small children, very happy in their particular Sunday school room. Here they are presenting a Christmas program for us, all dressed up in a, I don't know, biblical way, the way that the people dress in that area. But we're always very, very happy. And sometimes, you know, the people would not remember much of the sermon we preached or any of the adult program, but they will remember the children's program. And so we really work on having them involved in the church ministry all the time, to have them there. We also do missions. A year and a half, we started planting a church about 100 miles southeast of Skopje. We appointed this young man, Dimitar Janevski, and he started a ministry there. We are renting a place there. This place here was in an awkward shape when we tried to rent it, and we spent £10,000 to put it into some acceptable shape to have some meetings there. It was in such a bad shape. In return, we pay relatively low rent for the next 4 years. But it's already been 1.5 years, so we have 2.5 years, which we pay relatively low, about $200 a month, which is relatively low, really, for that kind of space. In a year and a half, we have 17 regular there, and oftentimes about 30 to 40. It's a situation where about 30 or 40 were present there. So we are quite happy in a year and a half in such a tough area to have 17 regular attenders to our church and Bible studies twice a week, and every other week also up to 30 or 40 is very encouraging. We are struggling financially. The young man who is appointed there does not have a formal theological education. Needless to mention, there are no biblical schools in Macedonia, so we send them abroad. I mentioned a few minutes ago that my son and daughter-in-law, they are both theologians, but they went in Croatia for a four-year theological training and then on in Prague in the Czech Republic for their master's degree. So this guy, Dimitar, who is in charge of this new mission field now, goes to Serbia, up to northern Serbia, for a Bible training, for a Bible school training, and it will take him 4 years before he has the necessary formal training. But meanwhile, he is pastoring the church. He was a lay pastor for some time, and he can do the job. Books, again, we have now, I think, up to about 100 titles in the past 40 years. It may be much, it may be little, I don't know. But we have worked very hard. We are by far the greatest Christian producer of Christian literature in Macedonia, our church, the Good News Baptist Church. And we supply just about anybody. Also, we have the only hymnal, with Christian hymnal with music notes, notations in Macedonian language that we have produced back in 1986. No one else has ever produced yet a Christian hymnal with music. It took us 5 years to do that, by the way, in that time. Some of my books, I've written myself about 25 books. Most of my books are practically my sermons put together, but some are specifically written. And we are targeting most of the time non-believers. These books are mostly aimed at unchurched people. So the first one you see to the left is Knowing God. This one is Ethical Issues. This was on the Ten Commandments. This one is Faith, Hope, and Love. This one is on the Fruit of the Spirit, but the title is Give a Proof that You're a Christian. And I remember the interesting expression on the face. I will tell you in a little while that we have participated for over 30 years on very big book fairs. And the opportunity was to meet the top government officials there. And it happened just when we published this particular book. It always reminds me of the Prime Minister at the time. And as we handed him over the book, the expression of his face is very, very interesting. I didn't get that photo here. Couldn't find it. But it's like, you know, was this give a proof that you're a Christian? Because everybody considers himself a Christian there, by tradition, of course. But it's an interesting book that penetrates in that. This next book is Yes to the Bible, No to Evolution, that I wrote years ago. It's almost out of copies. This one is on Christian marriage, from love to marriage in a godly way. The only book thus far in Macedonian language on this topic, on this area, in this area. And this one, it's all about your life. It's a very evangelistic book that's been reprinted 3 times so far. Many local churches in Macedonia, these small ones that I've mentioned, are using it for evangelism. It's about your life. And it talks about searching for the truth and the purpose in life. And many others. As I said, I've written about 25 books. And my latest one is this one here. Faith and Science, Can They Go Together? Again, I come from the university, and it was important to write books on these issues because most of my friends are from the university. So it's a very, very good book, I believe, very helpful. The next one is also in apologetics, God's Fingerprints. This is not mine. It's written from a younger person in our church whom I mentored over the years. He actually came to know the Lord through the apologetics that I've taught on over the years. But it's a wonderful book. It's a bit complicated. It has a lot of mathematics. The first chapter, he starts proving God's existence by mathematics. Hard even for me to read. I'm a chemist, not so much a mathematician. But it's very interesting and very, very good book indeed. This one is Roman Road Leads to God. It's 33 sermons from the Epistle of the Romans, which is considered the most influential epistle from the Bible over the centuries. And it was written by my younger brother. I didn't mention him. I have a younger brother who is a pastor over in the United States for the past 20 years or so. And it was written, of course, in English because he preaches there and I had to translate it into Macedonian. But it's a very adequate book for our society as well. It's leading a man for searching for the truth through all these truths that God wants us to know, from the first chapter in Romans to the last chapter in Romans. Very good. About 33 sermons, I believe they were, by my brother Samuel Grozdanov. These are some children's books. Of course, it's not only the covers here. But again, we didn't have a single children's book years ago. So we have now, I think, about 15 over the years we are trying to provide for children as they grow up. And this is the latest one, A Walk Through the Bible in 1 Year. This is a translation by Dave Strehler. This guy lives over in South Africa, I understood. We found the material over in the internet and we searched for him, so we located him in South Africa. And he was kind to give us the permission to translate the book. It's 365 pages, 365 daily readings through the Bible. It begins with Genesis 1 and it ends up with Revelation. It's for children, very suitable language. And this to the right are cards with Bible verses suitable for very small children. These are the invention of my daughter. She has three children and she said, I would have appreciated if I had those several years ago, before the children start going to school. They learn some simple Bible verses. And also there's another catch there. She has taken care that every single letter of the alphabet is there in these Bible verses. Because the Macedonian alphabet has 32 letters. We use Cyrillic alphabet. We don't use Latin letters. It would be different. But it's important for the children to associate, as they learn the letters, to also associate to a certain verse from the Bible. A simple one, but yet very different ones to guide them in that early childhood. I'm currently mostly engaged in writing 12 books, Coming to Know the Truth. Coming to Know the Truth is a course, a Bible course, or a Bible teaching by extension, something like Bible education by extension, which also incorporates correspondence Bible courses, and I've written so far 7 of them. The first one is called The Truth About the Bible, explaining to our people who have zero knowledge about the Bible what this book is all about, what we can find in it, and so forth and so forth. The second one is The Truth About God. The third one is The Truth About Men. Then The Truth About Sin. The Truth About Jesus Christ. The Truth About Salvation. The Truth About Baptism. And I have 5 more to go. The next one is going to be The Truth About the Holy Spirit. And then the next, The Truth About the Church. And then the next, The Truth About Prayer. And then the 11th, The Truth About Communion. And the last, the 12th one, is The Truth About Eternity. And these 12 cover basically all of the Christian teaching. And the idea is that people can get one of those and then we send them questions. They have to answer those questions before they get the other one. I use advertising on the internet, on Facebook in particular, because that's where the young people are now nowadays. And I've paid twice $20 each, I think $40 altogether, and I have now 150 subscribers already. And the project has not started yet, because we don't have all 12 yet, but it's going slowly. These are pilot projects right now. So I'm very optimistic that we will reach many more people in this way. Again, literature is one of the effective ways to reach our people due to the reasons that I've tried to explain. Our presence at the book fairs, very quickly. We have a huge amount of books that we can offer now. And again, this was an opportunity. This is here now, the former president of Macedonia and his son. He was the president of Macedonia until last year. And they were given books also at this occasion here. But it's interesting how many people we met from the government there. The prime minister, a couple of the presidents, the minister of culture, the minister of education, they were all given Christian books there. We don't know what happens afterwards, but that's all we can do. You know, you don't reach these people out on the street. We don't meet them. But this is a wonderful opportunity. It's a very popular book fair in Skopje, it happens to be, so every person really visits it. It's estimated over 70,000 people come to this book fair. Prayer support is needed. I've shared a little bit, but I hope you've understood the need of prayer. We work in a tough area, but God is blessing us. We are rejoicing over every new single soul. Our church has baptisms almost every year, new converts. If I had the time, I would tell you interesting stories how people come to know the Lord. But do pray with us, please. And pray for SGA, who stands behind many of these projects. Thank you for your attention. If you have any more interest, I will be glad to answer your questions afterwards. Thank you again. God bless you.